Hello everyone, this is Tippett Show, and I'm joined by John Snyson of World Alternative Media, and today we are going to talk about the negative interest rate situation all around the world. And what's crazy is it was, I believe it was June 17th, I had a walk and talk video with my dogs, and I was talking about how the global interest negative interest rates was at 11.7 trillion. And I was thinking, oh my God, that's such a huge number. And then it was only a few weeks later, maybe a few days later, I was commenting on how we're at $13 trillion. And now we're basically almost not even 2 months or a little over 2 months later, and we're talking about $17 trillion of negative interest rate debt, which is absolutely insane. And I can't even believe we've even gotten to the situation that we're in right now, that nobody seems to think that there's any sort of problem at all with having this amount of negative interest rate bonds. And so what I'm going to do right now is share a screen with you guys where it shows, and this is actually corporate debt. And you'll see on the screen, right as we get to July 1st, it just absolutely explodes, like a pretty much hyperbolic, like what we saw like Bitcoin from, you know, November through December of 2017, just a complete parabolic move all the way up there. And if you're a company, you know, why wouldn't you try to take advantage of these low rates right now? And from the, you know, the sovereign debt yield right now, or, you know, from a, you know, and the other thing that's really going on is the share of a percentage of the negative interest rate debt is also exploding. So I'm going to pull up those stats and figures right now. But for right now, I mean, John, what do you think about this negative interest rate situation and how much it's proliferated and what that means for the global economy?
Well, negative interest rates in the first place is a lie to the public about going bankrupt. When you go into negative interest rates, it doesn't make sense whatsoever. And for let me just give you a couple of examples here. So, for example, you want to charge people with a negative interest rate. You want to charge people that actually have money in a savings account to actually hold it there. Meanwhile, you're going out and gambling with that money on the markets, stocks, bonds, commodities, derivatives, whatever it is that the bank feel and see fit to invest in. And there you go. It's pretty insane to think about that. You know, the bank will charge you for taking on a huge substantial risk these days by having your money in the bank. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. And then on top of that, if you're an investor, you would want to invest in something solid. Well, you're going to go and invest in something that, let's do an example here. Let's say that it's $100,000 in bonds, and a German company, for example, because they have a corporate negative debt right now. You go out and borrow $100,000, and then let's say that the term is about, 10 years. Now, the principal that you actually will get back at the end of it will be $99,000. And which is insane, because now you're seeing actually that you lost money on the principal itself, and actually you have to pay to hold the investment in the first place, which is just crazy to me. Like, why would anybody pay to hold an investment and then lose money at the end of it? Doesn't make sense at all in the modern, in any world, because we never have had negative interest rates throughout history. You can remember that this is just an invention by these Keynesian bozos that are sitting around the world, you know, at the Financial Stability Board. They're sitting in the G20 or organization, the G30 organization and other, think tanks around the world, and are spouting this nonsense about going negative. The reason why they want to go negative, Tim, is because they want to corral everybody into a banking system. But really, to really go negative how they want it, they really need to remove cash out of the equation, because with cash, you can potentially, if you find a vulnerable bank, which is, 99% of banks today, you could convince the 10-15% of depositors to start withdrawing cash from that bank that they have in deposits. And then you have substantial trouble already. And that is, throughout history, it's been the number one killer of banks is a bank run, as that is called, when people pull their deposits out of the bank account. Meanwhile, the actual deposits are not really there. They find that out, of course, throughout the bank run. When the bank goes bankrupt, before they, paid back maybe only like 10 or 15% of what you actually held there. And what you see is that they believe that you will, you know, fall for this. And and of course with the negative interest rates, the number one thing that they really need is to go cashless. Because when you go cashless, well, now there's no way out of it. You're stuck in the banking system forever. And as Josh, you know, likes to say, he says that if your money's not is in the bank, it's not yours. And of course, if it's you know, electronic, it's never yours. You never own your money, and literally it will be in the banking grid. So you basically live in a gulag, in a banking gulag, where there's no way out of it. This is insane. And this is what they want, because what they think that they could do is they think that they could corral you into this cashless system with negative interest rates to then force monetary velocity into the economy by, you know, forcing you, you know, the basically taxing you negative 3-4% to have your money in your deposit account. And then you'll start spending it into the economy, because nobody's spending the money right now into the economy. You know, I just find it so funny how Trump just said recently how, oh, the American consumer is stronger than ever. You just gotta really laugh about that when you see the massive.
You mean the chosen one, the president of Israel, Donald Trump, that one. So, and one of the other things that is coming out right now is you had mentioned Germany. Well, Germany, this is actually news of just as of today, for the first time ever, issued a 0% 30-year bond. So even at 30 years, they're paying nothing as a German, which is absolutely insane. And then also right now, we're taking a look at a chart where it shows the market value of negative yield bonds as a percentage of global bonds. And just eyeballing it over here, it's about a little over a third. So we've got, you know, about 30% of all the bonds globally right now are negative. A crazy situation. Here's another chart that we had talked about earlier that shows the negative yielding corporate bonds and how those are going parabolic. And then the other chart here we have is it shows the United States, it basically shows the fixed income. U.S. fixed income accounts for over 95% of all income yield around the world. And the other thing that's important to know is even though that these are actual nominal negative interest rates, it's important to note that we probably have been underneath real negative interest rates for quite some time, probably for 100%. The past decade. And what that means for the people that aren't financial geeks like John and myself is that, let's say the real inflation rate is more like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9%, and as opposed to 2. And so if the real inflation was even at a lowball estimate of, let's say, 5, and the economy is even growing at Trump's highball estimate of, let's say, 3.2, that means that you've technically, since the inflation is more, that you've technically have almost lost 2% per year. And then you just keep
purchasing power, exactly.
And stacking it and stacking it and stacking it. And Josh and I did a video a couple weeks ago on the homelessness in California. And a lot of this has to do with a lot of people's income problems aren't necessarily an income problem. It's the fact that everything they're buying, it's keeping up with the purchasing power. So
stop printing money.
The symptom is, and we'll get to that a little bit later on, the printing money, but the symptom is we're going to attack the employers and make them start paying more, whereas the root cause is the central banks and these bankers printing more and more money. Now, you'd also mentioned how they want to get everybody cashless, and they've got, you know, a creature from Jekyll Island right behind me. And by getting everybody cashless, then they can implement one of these systems. We've just seen recently, and I don't know if John could talk more about this than myself because I'm not an expert on it, but we have FedNow. And so FedNow is the Federal Reserve's payment system scheme, where essentially it's their version, their answer, so to speak, to blockchain, of how they can make things 24/7. So you're seeing that blockchain is having an influence on the Federal Reserve, because now they realize that, hey, if people are starting, the market is starting to expect them, you know, I can hold up my phone, blip, make a payment in 1 second and not involve any intermediaries, and I can do it 24/7. You know, why are we having to pay, you know, $30 to have a bank send a wire and have it take a week? And I think they're starting to realize that the jig is up, but what they want to do is usher everybody into their own controlled cashless version, not like a private, you know, like Monero or Bitcoin Cash, where there's all sorts of cash shuffles that are starting to be introduced. And once they have us, you know, by the you know what, and they have everybody cashless, then they can say, okay, well, we're going to institute, you know, X percent tax on everybody, or we're going to, you know, do a haircut, or we're going to do a bail-in.
Capital controls.
Or we're going to give everybody an extra zero on their account, and even though that's not really going to do anything. I mean, we're seeing this like in reverse in other places. We're like, hey, we're gonna, or maybe they'll take a zero off everybody's account. And what they'll do, they'll start with the lowest hanging fruit first. They'll go with the, you know, obviously, you know, the rich first, and people who have more than, you know, maybe 100,000 in their bank accounts, or they'll probably start with the 500,000 and above first, because that's going to be more politically feasible. But you see the writings on the wall, and this is something that, you know, I know that you're a member of Freedom Force International, one of their top 11 guys in their council, and G. Edward Griffin has been talking about this for years, that, you know, here what they want to do is get everybody in this cashless grid, and now they're announcing, you know, the Federal Reserve is coming out with a cashless grid, China's coming out with a whole cashless, you know, yuan system. And then now they're with negative interest rates, you're going to be forced to have to lose money by being in the system, and they're forcing you to then get more aggressive. And so retirees right now are forced to be more aggressive. And the other thing that really hits on retirees is something called interest rate risk. Interest rate risk is the basically the notion that, or it's the concept that when interest rates rise, it's sort of like a teeter-totter. So when interest rates go up, the underlying values of bonds go down. And so when you're at negative, and eventually when central banks lose control, and they've already lost control, having to go negative is basically an admission that they've lost control, because they need to print all this money because they're so far into debt that they need, this is the only way to keep these zombie companies, zombie countries, zombie central banks alive, is to print more and more money. But what happens is, let's say you have a 10-year bond that is, you say you've got a 10-year bond that's yielding 0%. And then let's say rates go up, you know, an unbelievable amount. Let's say rates go up 1%. So from 0 to 1, now since you have a 10-year bond, you've now lost 10% of your underlying principal. So if you are a retiree and you're actively withdrawing money at, let's say, 4% a year, and then you're losing, you know, let's say 2% from your bond, you're absolutely getting killed, because if the rates go up, you're not losing 2%, you're losing 10% plus whatever you're taking out, plus whatever the real inflation rate is. You're just going to get crucified hanging out in bonds. And we did do a video with Tom Hegna, who's absolute expert on a lot of the retirement risks that are out there. I believe the video, I talked way too much in that video, like I'm doing right now, so I'll give it back to John soon. But in that video, we talked about how the rates were staying low forever. The reason why they had to stay low forever is because there's so much debt that's out there. Just math. If you have $20 trillion of debt and rates are 5%, then that means that the government is going to have to borrow at like 6 or 7, and boom, we're well over $1 trillion right there. And right now, the greatest economy ever, we're, you know, over $1 trillion in debt. So, you know, right now, probably getting close to wrapping up this video. We'll take some questions. But anything more you want to comment on negative interest rates?
Well, I think we're, and believe that we're going to see negative interest rates all across the board in all the central banks. Now, there could be a lot of issues here with that, that people will finally start to, the trust link will be broken with these banks. And especially the fiat currency systems that they involve, and people stop using them. So then at that point, you know, they're going to print substantial amount of money, because now they're not getting taxation income anymore from the fiat that they can print and then legally enforce upon you. So I think, I don't know, like, we'll see what happens. Like, look at Denmark. They seem pretty docile and complacent with they're 22% of negative rate mortgages right now, and the average of those is -0.1. And actually, I checked out, I think it was Danske Bank that had a -0.56 for a 10-year term, I believe, on a mortgage.
So you know what? I just thought of it. Yeah, and people are commenting that my camera position's off, so I don't know what's going on, but the real version will look a lot nicer. But I just realized what's going on right now. So with Denmark having negative mortgages, Trump wants to buy Greenland with negative rates. It's going to cost him less money than whatever he wants to buy it for.
He should rename himself a death man.
Yeah. And
that's who he is.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So we don't want to give away too much of the next video that's going to deal with this. But if you are watching us on the post show video, you know, make sure you stay tuned to the next video, which will be on Trump and 100-year bonds. So I think that's probably a good place to wrap this one up for now.
Just one last thing before we finish, because you said that the 30-year bond from Germany just were at zero. Well, actually, the current rate, if they were to issue 30-year bonds, would be at -0.18 on the 30-year bond. So that just tells you what a mess they gotten themselves into. And there's no way out of this. They can't just, you know, continue to print money, which they will. They would, you know, start to create the new quantitative easing programs worldwide. And they get a panic. They're going to buy everything. You know, I wrote an article saying that, you know, the Fed will own everything, then nothing. And I believe that's where we're heading with all the central banks. Just look at Japan, what they've done with negative interest rates, buying up all the assets, because they can prop the system up forever. They can just keep on printing money. And they could say, like, yeah, we won't go bankrupt. But, yeah, I would really say, like, negative interest rates is declaring bankruptcy on your nation, on your corporation, whoever is accepting negative interest rates. Tim.
Yeah, and this sort of reminds me of your quote, you know, sort of is that, what is it, the Jefferson quote, if we ever allow private central banks to issue the currency and credit of our nation, then we'll all end up homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered. And then it was, I think it was first by inflation, then by deflation, you know, they, you know, with a stroke of a pen, they end up buying up everything. Obviously, that's a paraphrase, you know, not completely like Rain Man over here with the quote. But anyways, you know, yeah, tons of crazy stuff. Make sure, you know, John has a conference coming up. I know a couple people speaking at it. I'm going to be one of them. It's a Winnipeg crypto conference. Also, forgot to mention at the beginning of the video, which hopefully Josh doesn't, I meant to do at the beginning, but Josh is traveling around Europe right now. So that's why, you know, he hasn't put out as much. He has been still putting out quite a bit of videos, but, you know, that's why John and I are stepping in right now, because Josh is doing some reports. Was doing reports in Italy. Now he's over in
Spain. Yeah.
So yeah, so a lot of good stuff coming out from Mr. Seekerson. But yeah, with that, also, so you want to give a quick plug to the Winnipeg Crypto Conference and what people can expect with that?
Yeah, no, the Winnipeg Crypto Conference is turning out to be really, really good now. We're getting more and more speakers all the day and sponsors getting involved, wanting to be part of the event. So we're very excited about what's happening in Winnipeg for the first time ever. When we were at the Futurist Conference in Toronto, which we did a live stream from, there was so many people that were super excited about us bringing this to a new place, because, you know, they're used to, you know, having it at the Toronto, Vancouver, or Calgary, whatever it was in Canada. So it's good to, you know, they're super excited about wanting to come and speak and actually put forward their message to new people that they haven't met before, that they could educate on, you know, crypto, blockchain, and everything that that entails. And it's very exciting to have all these people very interested to both come out, and especially to be a part of it, because it's historic. It's of course the first one ever in Winnipeg, and a lot of people have told me that, oh, you're crazy to put it on, you're never going to succeed. But I believe we will succeed, and I think it's going to be a fantastic event. So I very much look forward to it. So if you go to winnipegcryptoconference.com and put it in promo code WAM, WAM, you will get a 10% discount code. So we'd love to have you out and chat with you. Both me and Josh and Tim will also be there. So it's going to be a fantastic time, fantastic speakers, and really great content that will help you, you know, step up your level and understanding of the future that we're moving into. We were talking about cashless, blockchain is a part of that, but there's a two-sided sword of the decentralized, you know, power to the people, and then centralized, you know, Chinese and all the other blockchains that are out there that is made to enslave us.
Yeah, so check it out, Winnipeg Crypto Conference. But I'm Tim Pichot, along with John Snyson with World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change.
Be the change.
A good friend of mine, Tim Pichot, he's a financial advisor at Scotts. You'd be able to bring the crypto into the system. How would you be able to do a foundation of trust, of this, of that, and so on? And he's been spending months on how you can take your crypto and not pay capital gains on it, not have taxes on it. I'm going, man, you need to talk to Tim, okay?
Hey, this is Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor. Head to BitcoinEarlyAdopter.com to download our guide on the 10 things you need to know when sitting on massive crypto capital gains. That's BitcoinEarlyAdopter.com.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges for creating a website. Please help free this peaceful man. Go to FreeRoss.org and sign and share the petition.